Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your grace, for your grace. Help us, Father, I pray this morning to reach out with active and aggressive expectancy, to attach our faith to your grace, Father, to receive your word, to walk it out, to experience the freedom that your word brings, that your truth brings, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Let's hear that. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely and make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Remember, as the children of God, we don't ever do passive acceptance in regards to our negative circumstances. We are designed to respond every time with active and aggressive expectancy. Why? Because we expect to see, we expect to experience the goodness of God right here, right now, in the land of the living. Amen. Praise God. We believe in pie in the sky, but we also believe in steak and cake on the plate while we wait. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The goodness of God right here, right now, in the land of the living, and even better to come later. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if we're going to discern rightly, if we're going to act wisely, it is vital that we maintain God's created order of spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Man is a spirit who has a soul and who lives in a body. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up or bear to sustain is to strengthen or support physically or mentally. So a strong spirit will always result in a strong mind and a strong body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17, the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. As he is, so are we in this world. We release his roar, the righteous roar. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When a lion roars, it's communicating something. It's saying, I am here. This is my territory. Get out of here. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Everywhere he went, Acts 10:38, everywhere he went, he was doing good and bringing healing and deliverance to all who were demonically oppressed, who were oppressed by the devil. Hallelujah. Kobo shakasaka. We now have that same anointing to do the same works with the same results. Who said so? Jesus said so. Grace says it's yours, faith says. That is mine. Hallelujah. So we are here, folks, to advance God's supernatural kingdom with God's supernatural ability to release his righteous roar that informs every demonic interloper that they better get out of here. Hallelujah. Remember, the message we've been entrusted with is always relevant. And I'll tell you, folks, it has never, ever been more relevant than it is right now. The basis of our message is that Jesus said that those who acknowledge his lordship by hearing and doing what he says will live in a storm-proof house. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground, the foundation, the mainstay of the truth. Remember, a truly prophetic word, a truly prophetic message is always relevant, always appropriate to the current time, the current period or circumstances. Amen. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out and set up her seven pillars. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is. It is mine. I was just thinking about this over the past week or so, and I was thinking, I just want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you that every time you're reading the word and you encounter that word, grace, read it as grace. We try that. Hallelujah. Praise God. See how you get on. Might change your life. Hallelujah. See, I believe we have wrongly seen grace as being passive, but we need to see it as aggressive. Hallelujah. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Amen. Grace says it's yours. Faith says, oh yes, it is mine. Hallelujah. So we've been going through these seven pillars, and I just want to emphasize something. Please understand it. This is not about playing religious games. This is not about scratching a religious itch. This truly is life-changing. This is life-transforming truth. Hallelujah. If you'll take a hold of it, if you'll draw it into your life, into your spirit, man, hallelujah, it will change your life. Hallelujah. Grace says it's yours. Faith says, oh yes, it is mine. So just a very quick run through the previous six pillars. So we're moving on to the seventh pillar this morning. Hallelujah. First pillar, the Word of God promises that we can have a sin-proof heart. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Second pillar, the Word of God promises us that we can have a sickness-proof body. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. I remember hearing Norval Hayes many years ago say that he asked the Lord why his godly mother died so young, leaving him to raise his siblings. And the Lord gave him a very simple answer. This is what he said. She went to the wrong church. Now you might find that answer offensive. You might find it hard to swallow. Unless you process it through your spirit rather than your soul. Third pillar. The Word of God promises us that we can have an oppression-proof mind. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it's mine. Fourth pillar. The Word of God promises us that we can have recession-proof finances. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it's mine. I just feel I need to back up what I said there about Norval Hayes. You know, why did the Lord say that? Why did he say she went to the wrong church? Because where you go determines what you'll hear. What you hear will determine what you believe. And what you believe will determine how you live or die. She was a godly woman. That's why Norval came before the Lord. He said, Lord, why is it that my mother, she was so godly, she really did believe in you. Why did she die so young and leave her family to raise itself? And the Lord said, it's because she went to the wrong church, because she never heard about the goodness of God, about his desire to heal, that he had already made provision for everyone to experience the healing power of God when sickness came banging on their door. Anyway, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Hallelujah. Fourth pillar. The Word of God promises that we can have recession-proof finances. Grace says it's yours. Faith says, oh yes, it is mine. Fifth pillar. The Word of God promises that we can have a divorce-proof marriage. Grace says it is yours. Grace says it is yours, folks. Faith says it is mine. Sixth pillar we looked at last time, the Word of God promises that we can have strife-proof relationships and a division-proof church. Grace says it's yours. Faith says, thank you, Father. It is mine. Hallelujah. So we're moving on, as I said. Seventh pillar. The Word of God promises that we can have a death-proof life. Grace says it is yours. You better get your girl going on this one. Grace says it is yours. Faith says it is mine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I would advise that you fasten your seatbelts for this one. Amen. This may be the last pillar, but I'll tell you what, in many ways it's actually a summation of all of the others. But let me say this also. This message, I believe, this morning is hot and fresh from Heaven's Bakery for the season that we are living in. Right now, it's always relevant, but as I said, sometimes it's like it's more relevant than ever. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm going to teach on, I need to say that, because this is as relevant gets and more, and I need to say this before I go any further. What I'm going to teach on here is not in any way politically motivated, nor is it a criticism of particular leaders or political leaders. But it is an exposure, I believe, of who is behind this present disruption and chaos that we are currently witnessing. Please hear this, and I would encourage you actually to read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 2. And I'd encourage you to read it in the Amplified Bible. But here's Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 to 15. And this is from the Amplified version. Since therefore these as children share in flesh and blood and the physical nature of human beings, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. Jesus came to deliver those who all of their lifetime were in bondage to the fear of death. Remember, a prophetic word is a relevant word. I said previously that there are those who can't seem to hear our message because they don't think that they need what we are talking about. It's like the whole new wineskins thing that Jesus spoke about. You know, some folks say the old is good enough. But there comes a point, there comes a time when the thirst begins to develop for the new wine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People, I believe, are in great fear right now. I see it. I hear it. I witness it just about every day. And the fear that they're in is the fear of dying. But you see, they think that the government or the NHS, the National Health Service, can save them if they just do what they are told. But the reality is they are in bondage. And I believe I'm going to show you here that they are actually being tortured. And only truth can set them free. Only truth can set them free. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. Love has been perfected among us. This is just floating me right now. You know, we are believing for the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen. Remember back there in Egypt when Pharaoh got wind of the fact that God's people had a desire to break free and to break loose, and Moses came and with bringing the word of the Lord to Pharaoh said, God says, let my people go. I'll tell you, the enemy knows that right now there's a stirring in the church. Hallelujah. But he saw what was, he got an inkling of what was coming. He's that's why he's been coming against the harvest out there right now, the those in the world right now, who are still without God and without hope. He's coming through the strategy of this. As I said before, he crowned this virus and thought he could really do some damage with it. Hinder people. And but just like Pharaoh, when he heard that the people were stirring to get free and to escape his the bondage that he had brought them under, what did he do? He turned up the heat. Anyway. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Listen up. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Just a wee reminder, we're not here to do battle with flesh and blood. We're not here to criticize or malign governments or personalities, etc. But we are most definitely here to hurt the devil and expose his agenda, which is always based on a lie. And we do that primarily by proclaiming truth, by speaking the truth in love. Not in anger, not in protest, but in love. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus gave us a very powerful revelation of truth in John chapter 10, verse 10. I believe it's a revelation that the old covenant believers and saints did not have. And Jesus brought it to us in John 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief only ever comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice right now the full stop at the end of that statement. We have been given the authority to apply that full stop. The authority only works where you have been given and where you have been willing to take responsibility. The authority has been given, but it only works where we're willing to accept and to take the responsibility that we have been given to apply that full stop. To take the authority we've been given and to exercise that authority. You know, as I've said many times, freedom is spelled R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y, responsibility. Because Jesus continues in the second part of John 10:10, and he says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I have come that they might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness. A super abundant life. When does that life begin to be our experience? Well, I'll tell you when. When we apply the full stop at the end of the first statement. Glory to God. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. I've been looking at it many times over these weeks and months and even over years. You shift from passive acceptance in regard to the first statement. And you release your righteous roar. And you attach your active and aggressive expectancy to the second statement. Christ says it's mine. What's mine? This abundant life. That Jesus came. That not only we, but that they, all those out there, this harvest that we're believing for, that they might have it. Hallelujah. We attach our active and aggressive expectancy to the second statement, that he came that we might have and enjoy life in all of its fullness till we fill up and it overflows. Christ says it's mine. So I take it by faith and say, yes, it is mine. Hallelujah. Where does this life manifest, first of all? Well, it manifests in our spirit. Our spirit that is joined to the Lord, and then it comes out and it overflows into our soul and then into our body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then it says that we can take our physical hands and lay them on the sick and they will recover. There's so many things that just come out and the words that we speak out of our mouths. Hallelujah. They're powerful. They're powerful. They're backed up by all of heaven's authority. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, Jesus said, John 7, verse 38, he who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being, where's that? Your spirit, man, shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Oh, hallelujah. That's why it is so vital that we maintain the created order of spirit, soul, and body. You see, our soul can give mental assent to what Jesus says, but it can also be easily shifted and tossed about by the winds of adversity. But our spirit says amen to what Jesus says and stands firm regardless of external circumstances. Remember, Jesus said his words are spirit and life. And so only our spirit, as I've taught many times, only our spirit is equipped, adequately equipped to process his words accurately. Jesus said that the Father is seeking worshippers in spirit and truth. And one of the definitions of the Greek word translated as truth is accuracy. The Word of God promises that we can have a death-proof life. Grace say that is yours. Faith says, oh, it is mine. You know, I've talked many times that, as you, I'm sure you remember, on the 4D life, life in the fourth dimension of spirit. Because this is the only way that we are equipped to stay over what the enemy of our souls comes to bury us under. And right now I can understand why the people of the world are responding to this so-called global pandemic by submitting to lockdown measures that even the media are referring to as draconian, which, by the way, is defined as excessively harsh and severe, extreme, drastic, stringent, tough, cruel, oppressive, ruthless, relentless, punitive, authoritarian, despotic, tyrannical, and repressive. Wow. Next time you hear that word draconian, think of some of these things. But, you know, I seriously, I understand, as I said, why the world is coming under that stuff. I have no idea why the house of God, which is the church of the living God, should be even remotely tempted for one second to think that they could possibly have any need whatsoever to engage with these strategies. I mean, after all, which of Jesus' statements in John 10:10, the first statement or the second statement, apply to the coronavirus? Said enough. So, I mean, those who are not born again, those who are still under bondage to the fear of death, they may still be in a position where they are able to be manipulated as a result of that fear. But what about the saints of God? What about us? I remember, the Lord brought this back to my remembrance, but I remember being involved in a particular deliverance healing ministry situation many years ago. One of these definitive learning experiences. And in the midst of it, I was asking the Lord why it was dragging on so long. And this is what I heard him say. I was actually driving across the Barrettsmuir, the place of great revelation, back to visit this home where this situation was taking place. And this is what I heard him say, these two words, past feeling. And I knew that referred to a scripture in Ephesians, and so I went and I read it from the Amplified Bible, and here's what it says, Ephesians 4:19, in their spiritual apathy they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey. Spiritual apathy. Apathy is defined as indifference, lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, lack of concern, unresponsiveness, and lethargy. Spiritual apathy. Apathy in regard to the dimension of the spirit. They've abandoned themselves a prey. To who? Well, 1 Peter 5 verses 8 to 9 says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, looking for prey. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Stay alert. No apathy. Be strong in your faith with active and aggressive expectancy. Why? Because we have an enemy who only ever comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he preys on the spiritually apathetic. Those who live on, or try to live on, the inadequate resources of their soul. And so they remain in bondage, they live in bondage to the fear of death. That's whether they identify as God's people or not. Many times over the years I've heard believers and preachers misquote John 10:10. Get the order wrong. They'll say something like, well, the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I believe they get it wrong. It's because they're missing the order of spirit, soul, and body. So they think killing is worse than stealing. You see, that's a soulish evaluation of things. Jesus said the devil comes to steal God's word. The word that death proofs our life. So it's only if he can succeed in stealing God's word that he can actually have access to kill and to destroy. It's so vitally important when God places things in a certain or particular order, it's so important that we recognize that order. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. If he can't steal the word, then he can't kill and he can't destroy. And yet many of God's people have been immobilized and locked down by the strategies for dealing with a global pandemic that have been laid down by government authorities that are still in bondage to the fear of death. That's not a criticism, that's just an honest evaluation of where things are at. Please hear this, tune in your spirit. The only way that this could happen is if the word of God has been displaced. And this can only happen if through spiritual apathy, a passive acceptance has displaced active and aggressive expectancy. You see, the fear of death is the root of every other fear. The fear of the coronavirus is the fear that it will kill you. Whereas there are actually a multitude, there's a whole Bible full of scriptures that promise protection from any sickness or disease or pestilence. Listen up. Remember what we read in 1 John 4:18, fear involves torment. You know, there's a clear relation between torment and torture. And there's actually a recognized psychological, remember, psychology is the science of the soul. There's a recognized psychological torture strategy known as DDD, debility, dependency, and dread. Of course, that's 3D. And it has an obvious correlation with the devil's mission statement to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it also fits the effects of much of the strategy employed during lockdown to control people as a means of supposedly controlling the virus. Remember, a strong spirit leads to a strong mind and a strong body. But you know the collateral damage. I'm hearing this all the time through news reports and media outlets. You know, the collateral damage to mental health appears to actually be off the scale. And the success in reducing the spread of the virus has been limited, to say the least. But there is still, however, a large percentage of the population who, through fear, are now easily manipulated, and in fact now are becoming prone to blaming others for the increase in the infection rate. I'll tell you, that's straight out of the Garden of Eden, where Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil, who was undoubtedly guilty of instigating the crime, as he is in this case, but the reality is that they could have quite easily remained behind the wall of protection provided to them by the word that they had been given. They could have remained there and continued to have and to enjoy life in all of its fullness and to advance that place of abundance that they inhabited, advance it across the face of the earth. Oh, hallelujah. I just read this online, just actually a couple of days ago. In manuals related to this 3D strategy, remember, debility, dependency, and dread, they discuss the issue of helplessness, characterized as apathy, the result from prolonged torture, stating if the debility, dependency, dread state is unduly prolonged, however, the one against whom the strategy is employed may sink into a defensive apathy from which it is hard to arouse them. The technical term for this is learned helplessness, the result of inescapable aversive stimuli, the result being the subject gives up the fight and simply becomes the victim. Listen up, folks. Spirit turned on, tuned in. We are never helpless. Jesus said that he has given us another helper, the Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth, that keeps us free. He comes and he confirms God's word in our lives with supernatural victory over sin and sickness and every other manifestation of the curse. He's our comforter, our counselor, our intercessor, our advocate, our strengthener, our standby. According to John chapter 14. Let's look at this 3D business. Debility. I believe that just fits with the thief who comes to steal. Debility means physical weakness. We are told that we are susceptible to a deadly virus against which we have no immunity and are therefore virtually powerless. You see, you have to have had the word of God regarding his protection from pestilence and disease stolen from you in order to passively accept that. Dependency. I believe that fits with to kill, the thief who comes to kill. Helplessness, dependence, weakness, defenselessness, dependency. Vulnerability. See, we're being programmed with the notion that we are helpless to defend ourselves, that we cannot be trusted with the freedom to choose how we perfectly, legitimately live and organize our lives. And so we must be dependent upon following the dictates of government and the NHS and as they are informed by medical science in order to protect us from this deadly virus. And so measures and restrictions are introduced that dramatically reduce the quality of life that Jesus came to ensure that we could have and enjoy. We're separated from one another. Friends, families, churches, all of our regular support networks. And we are told that it is all for our benefit. The third D, dread. I believe that just fits together with the thief who comes to destroy. Dread is defined as great fear or apprehension, trepidation, anxiety, worry, concern, foreboding, disquiet, unease, angst, fright, panic, alarm, terror, and horror. Dread, this is not just common or regular common or garden fear. This is fear amplified exponentially. It leaves people paralyzed and immobilized and wide open to the destruction of everything that was purchased and provided for them by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember what he did there? He did for everybody. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. The word of God promises us that we can have a death-proof life. Grace says, it is your faith says, it is mine. So what exactly does God's word promise? Let's just hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God. People can't believe what they've never heard, and they can't hear if nobody tells them, and we heard it inform them what the word of God says. Jesus submitted to our death, a sinner's death on the cross. Why? So that we could resist death with his life. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Grace says it is yours, faith says it is mine. The glorious hope of the church, folks, is not to die and go to heaven, it never was, but to be changed at Jesus' return while still alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 to 52. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Grace says it is yours. Faith says it is mine. You know, the less fear that we have of death, the more faith we have to live the life that he came to enable us to live and to enjoy. Faith comes by hearing what God's word says. Let's go on and hear more of what he says. Jesus said that we live by what he says. John 11, verse 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. You know, there's no loss to the person who dies before Jesus' return. What was Paul's testimony for? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Grace says freedom from that fear is yours. Faith says it is mine. Romans chapter 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's a gift, folks. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. Remember? First pillar, hallelujah. We're no longer the sinners trying to get righteous. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. First pillar, God's word promises that we can have a sin-proof heart. In the way of righteousness, there is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it's mine. Proverbs 13, 14, the instruction of the wise is like a life-giving fountain. Those who accept it avoid the snares of death. Remember, wisdom has built her house. She has established these seven pillars. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Grace says it's yours. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it's mine. Proverbs 14:27, very similar but different. The fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Verse read there said wisdom. Here it says the fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. It offers escape from the snares of death. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. John 5 verse 24. I tell you the truth. Jesus speaking. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed. They have already passed from death to life. So many people are afraid of passing from life to death. But Jesus said, those who believe in him, come on, let's turn this mess around. Hallelujah. They have already passed from death into life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Christ says it is yours. Faith says, it is mine. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Grace says it's yours And faith says, thank you, thank you, thank you, it is mine. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live. Please hear this. Now we also may live new lives. Grace says, those that are no longer enslaved to fear. Hallelujah. Come on. Enslaved by fear. Those that no longer just exist under passive acceptance. But you reach out and say, faith. Grace says, it's yours. Well, faith says, it is mine. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the sin, from the law, sorry, of sin and death. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it's mine. Romans 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let the life of God flow from our spirit into our soul, our mind, our will and our emotions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Grace says, it is yours. Faith says, it is mine. Well, here's that scripture now. For Paul's testimony, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Grace says, that's yours. Faith says, it is mine. If that's Paul's testimony, that can be Paul's testimony, that can be my testimony also. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, grace says it's yours, and faith says, it is mine. You see, we need to hear this. The devil can't touch us when there is no fear in our lives for him to hang on to or for him to manipulate. Grace says, it's yours. Faith says, it is mine. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Why don't you just take, let your active and aggressive expectancy attach itself to that. Hallelujah. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 2, verse 7, and then verse 16. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Oh, hallelujah. With long life, verse 16, with long life and length of days I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Grace says, it is yours. Faith says, it is mine. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, verses 4 to 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Grace says it is yours. Faith says it is mine. Psalm 118, verse 17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Hallelujah. Those who love life, hallelujah, glory to God, will speak words of life. Hallelujah. And your life will follow the words that you speak. The words that you speak set the course for your life. Hallelujah. We will not speak the words of passive acceptance, but we will speak the words of God, the words of faith, of active and aggressive expectancy. Hallelujah. Death-proof life is possible for one reason and one reason only, because God's word says that it is possible. Grace says it's yours. Faith says it is mine. Hallelujah. We live by faith. Romans chapter 6 verses 8 to 9, and since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. As he is, so are we in this world. If death no longer has any power over him, then death no longer has any power over us. Hallelujah. Because he is risen, we are risen. Oh, hallelujah. Christ says it is yours. Faith says it is mine. We are not under, folks. We are over. We're not under the power of the enemy. We are over all the power of the enemy, including the power of death. Christ says it is yours. Faith says it is mine. Seventh pillar. As I said, it may have come last, but really it just includes all of the other pillars. Hallelujah. The Word of God promises that we can have a death-proof life. Let's say it together. Christ says. Let's just say it this way. Christ says it is mine. And my faith says, agrees with what grace says, and says, oh yes, it is mine. Father, we thank you again for the incredible, awesome provision of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you that you reversed everything that was against us, that every negative was turned into a positive. That you became a curse for us, Lord Jesus, that we might receive the blessing, the power of your blessing, the blessing of everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. To be lived and enjoyed in all of its fullness. As a testimony to your goodness, as a testimony to your faithfulness, as a sign and a wonder that points people back to you, that turns them back to the God of heaven who sits upon the throne of heaven, the God of heaven and earth, who paid the ultimate price so that a mighty harvest of souls, that you may bring many sons to glory. Oh, hallelujah. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. Bring it on, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive all the power and all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Everybody move just a little bit, come on.